Well, if you were with us last week, we started off our and ended with the analogy asking the question, are you a chicken or a pig? So it's pretty interesting. And I thought long and hard about what to title this sermon. I could say, here's the pigs. Because we're going to look at some heroes from the Old Testament and see some of the stuff that they did. Or maybe we could call it, would the real pig please stand up? Andrew will decide and he will place it on the website after the sermon is over. So make sure you go on the web and you check that out. But no matter what we call our time together today, we're going to start with a story. John Blanchard stood up from the bench. He straightened his army uniform and studied the crowd of people making their way through Grand Central Station. He looked for the girl whose heart he knew, but whose face he didn't. He looked for the girl with the rose. His interest in her had begun 13 months before in a Florida library. Taking a book off the shelf, he found himself intrigued, not with the words of the book, but with the notes penciled in the margins. The soft handwriting reflected a thoughtful soul and an insightful mind. In the front of the book, he discovered the previous owner's name, Miss Hollis Maynell. With time and effort, he located her address. She lived in New York City. He wrote her a letter introducing himself and inviting her to correspond. And the next day, he was shipped overseas for service to his country in World War II. But during the next year and 1 month, the two grew to know each other through the mail. Each letter was a seed falling on a fertile heart. A romance was budding. Blanchard requested a photo, but she refused. She felt that if he really cared, it wouldn't matter what she looked like. When the day finally came for him to return from Europe, they scheduled their first meeting. 7 p.m., Grand Central Station, New York, New York. "You'll recognize me," she wrote, "by the red rose I'll be wearing on my lapel." We'll get back to the story later. I want us to look this morning at some examples of some people that did the right thing. Now, the first guy I want to look at, and as we look at this, I think it's important for us to know that this guy is a gal. We all know the story of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. And if you read scriptures, you'll find out that the Moabites were not very highly esteemed by those that were Jewish. But nevertheless, circumstances as they may be, Ruth found herself in the presence of Jewish people. And more so, Jewish people found themselves in the presence of Ruth. And Ruth's sister-in-law, through the process of their involvement together, because of the famine that was in the land, Ruth's father-in-law dies. Her husband dies, her brother-in-law dies, and all that is left is her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. And her mother-in-law says, "Let's go back to the land, or I'm going to go back to my land." And Ruth so proudly and so forcefully announces, "I will go with you." Ruth looked at her home and said, "I need to be with my mother-in-law." She looked at what was going on and she says, "This is no longer my home. This is my home." Maybe a foreglimpse of us to look at. The beautiful hymn that we sing, "This world is not my home." What does it say? Come on, guys. "I'm just a passing through. My treasures are light up somewhere beyond the blue." When we get to that point, when we can say, that's my treasure, that's my home, that's where we're going. Then we understand where Ruth was. God rewarded Ruth because of her diligence and because she loved. And she did the right thing. And she told her mother-in-law, your people will be my people. Where you go, I will go. But let's look at someone else. We all know the story of Daniel, one of my favorites, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if we look back at all of the things that these guys did right, keeping in mind that they were in a foreign land, they were captives in a land that was not their own. There's a theme beginning here. They were placed and taken away from home for a period of time. And Daniel and his three friends were forced into a service. And when it came time for them to do what they were going to do, the king's officials came to him and gave him all the food and gave him all the wine and gave him all the luxuries that the king's attendants would have had the right to have. Daniel and his friends said, "Nope, nope, nope. That would defile our bodies. Please, if you would allow us to do this, this, and this." And they said, "You know, water is fine for us, and our vegetables and fruits are fine for us, and we're going to do this." And they put them to the test. And sure enough, after it was over, they were stronger and healthier looking than the guys that ate the choicest of foods that came off of the king's tables. And God blessed them. And through the course of time, it became evident that they were different, that they were different than the rest of those that were called to serve. But when we get to the story and they're going into that furnace, the king dramatically comes out. Will you not renounce? Will you not now? Will you not? And they said, we will not. We will not. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Daniel, the third chapter. Daniel, the third chapter, beginning in verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God in which we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. The very men that were throwing these men in the furnace were getting burned. Their clothes were getting burnt by the fire because it was so intense. But they still refused to succumb to the gods in the land that they were living. Daniel's friends stood up and said, we will not. They made the right choice. They went the right way. But that's not all we see. Last week we looked at a passage from Joshua. In Joshua 24 and verse 14, and I think it's important for us to understand at this, that when Joshua said these words, Joshua was standing alone. Our scripture reading from last week that was read to us from Joshua 24, 15 and 16, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, we look at what was going on. Joshua was being put up in front. He was going to be the one that was going to lead him into the new land. He was the one that was going to give him the victory because God had said so. He was the successor to Moses and what was happening there. And Joshua comes out and boldly proclaims, if you think it's right to serve those gods, then go ahead. If you think it's right to serve the gods of the Amorites in the land that you're living, go ahead. If you think it's right to serve the gods of your forefathers, the ones that your fathers served beyond the river Euphrates. But choose this day, he said, who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua stood alone on that hill. Joshua stood alone in this sermon where he was preaching, "This is my choice. I choose God." Let's look at a New Testament example. Beautiful, poignant story. Jesus is in a crowd of people, and he is walking through a crowd of people. And he says, "Someone touched me." The apostles thought he was crazy. "Well, everybody touched you. We're in a crowd of people. You couldn't move to the right. You couldn't move to the left. You couldn't move forward. You couldn't move backwards." It's kind of like it was on Thanksgiving Day on the streets of New York City. 3.5 million people gathered to see this. And you know what? It took about 3 hours for the 3.5 million people to get into place for the parade. It took a while for those people to disband. And there was quite a few people touching us. But she touched him. The faith that she has, she says to herself, she has been struggling. She has been struggling so long with this infirmity. She has been struggling so long with the pain and the isolation that would have come. If you want to go back and you want to look at a woman that had a hard life for all those years because of her infirmity, look at the laws in Leviticus and look and see what she could not do. 12 years she could not go to the temple. Not even once. Now, in a desperation plea, she crawls through the crowd and she finds the hem of the garment of the Lord of the world. And the faith inside of her says, "If I just touch his coat, if I just touch," one version says, "the hem of his garment, I will be healed." Jesus felt it. He says in Matthew, and I got to tell you, this is one of the very few stories that is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels. It's an interesting thing in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That tells me something. That tells me the Holy Spirit wanted this said and said again and said again because of the faith that she had. She did the right thing. Jesus said, "I felt it. Someone touched me. The power went out from me." Your faith has made you well. She did the right thing. She made the right choice. She made the right choice. But let's look at one more man. We've been on a theme of patriots as we come up to Memorial Day next week. If you not plan to do so, please plan to remember those who have served. But in the story, this centurion did not even think himself worthy to come in for Jesus to come into his house. And a beautiful, poignant story. Just say the word. The centurion made the example is, "I am a man and I have people that are under me. And I tell them to go and they go." And the centurion puts on the presence of Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord, not of people. He is the Lord of everything. Even sickness. Even disease. And yes, Jesus Christ is even the Lord over death. "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." He was not even Jewish, folks, but he realized the power and the glory and the majesty of his Savior. You know, people talk about the Christian life of not being one that is easy. People talk about the Christian life of one that is filled with hardship and there's pain, and there is suffering. And granted, that may be a challenge in our Christian walk. And being a Christian may not always be an easy job. But brothers and sisters, our retirement is out of this world. There is not a 401k that can compete with what we get if we follow and we make the right choice. There is not a vacation plan. There is not any Club Med that is going to be better than what God has planned for us when we get home to be with Him. And Jesus says, I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. 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 Jesus said, He's going to take care of it. Our brother Rich, a couple of weeks ago, did an amazing job presenting a lesson to us. And in that passage, he brought forth truths from Paul's epistle to Timothy. Now, Paul, an older preacher, is talking to a younger man in Timothy towards the end of his life in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And he boldly pronounces, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. But not only just to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. What Paul said, it's not how you start the race that counts. It's how you finish. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, let me change this word here. Hopefully, with the permission of the Holy Spirit, let me, God, run my race with perseverance, the race that is marked out for me. Let you run the race that the God of this universe has marked out for you. Let us run the race that we have been called to run. In Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1, the beginning of what we saw and read with John just a little while ago is very powerful. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me, or if you just want to listen, I will read to you now. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, let me say that again, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. We're faced with choices in life. Choices to do the right thing, to do the godly thing. Choices to do the wrong thing. Choices to do our thing. But I'm going to let Mr. Blanchard tell you the rest of the story. A young woman was coming towards me. Her figure long and slim. Her blonde hair lay back in curls from her delicate ears. Her eyes were blue as flowers. Her lips and chin had a gentle firmness. And in her pale green suit, she was like springtime come alive. I started towards her, entirely forgetting to notice that she was not wearing a rose. As I moved, a small provocative smile curved her lips. "Going my way, sailor?" she murmured. Almost uncontrollably, I made a step closer to her. And then I saw Miss Hollis Maynell. She was standing almost directly behind the girl, a woman well past 40, She had graying hair tucked into a worn hat. She was more than plump, her thick ankled feet thrust into low-heeled shoes. And the girl in the green suit was walking away quickly. And I felt as though I was split in two. So keen was my desire to follow her, and yet so deep was my longing for the woman whose spirit had truly companioned me and helped to hold my own. And they stood there. Her pale, plump face was gentle and sensible. Her gray eyes had a warm and kindly twinkle. I did not hesitate. My finger gripped the small, worn blue leather copy of the book that was to identify me to her. This would not be love, but it would be something precious, something perhaps even better than love, a friendship for which I had been and must ever be grateful. I squared my shoulders, and I saluted, and I held the book to the woman, even though while I spoke, I felt choked by the bitterness of my disappointment. I am Lieutenant John Blanchard. You must be Miss Hollis Maynell, and I am glad that we could meet. May I take you to dinner? The woman's face broadened into a tolerant smile. I don't know what this is about, Sonny. But the woman in the green suit that just went by, she begged me to wear this rose on my coat. And she said if you were to ask me out to dinner, that I should go and tell you that she is waiting in the big restaurant across the street. She says it's some kind of a test. Have you taken the test? Are you going to follow what your God put in your heart to go one way? Or are you going to follow another way? St. Augustine said, when we ask God to give us something and he says no, so many times he has something much bigger to give us in return. Would you pray with me? Amazing Father in heaven, we gratefully come before you right now, thanking you, Father, for the life that you give us. Thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you, Father, for love. But right now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the examples that you've given us in Ruth and Shadrach and this woman, the centurion. We thank you, Father, and we praise you. We thank you for Jesus. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. So we ask the question, will the real pig please stand up? Well, folks, he did. The man who never ate pork stood up on a hill, laid down on a cross, and he said, I love you this much. He made the right choice. He made the choice that says, I am willing to die so that you can be with me. If you're here this morning, we're going to sing an invitation song right now. We're going to sing a song that is meant to help us decide. And the song we have this morning tells us that very thing. I am resolved. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to linger. I'm not going to follow this path. I'm not going to follow this path. I'm going to follow the path. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Are you here this morning? You're not a Christian? Or maybe you've walked from God. Maybe you chose a different path. Maybe you stumbled just a little bit and you want to come back. This is a time you can come, but not just now. If you have a need, please let the church family know. Please let us know where we can help you in your walk with our Lord. Let's stand and sing.